And welcome back to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with SBK. I'm Dave Clark. He is the irrepressible Steve Palmer. Back in the net last week, Steve.
Hiya, Dave. Good morning. Yeah, it was a good week, Dave. It was a tale of two halves on Sunday, wasn't it? The first half of Sunday, absolutely joyous, thanks to our new hero, Marco Penge. But the second half of Sunday, was agonising due to the near miss of the Hoggarth. So, lots to discuss. A classic golf, agonizing golfing Sunday, I call that. A classic golfing Sunday.
Agonising trying to watch some of it as well, Steve.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. No, outrageous. Yeah, we've got a lot to discuss about Sky Sports, whether the subscription is value for money, because, didn't screen any shot from the Hainan Classic, which would have been our favourite tournament of the year.
Absolutely criminal. Right, we are here, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe. We appreciate all your interaction. And, of course, Steve, you love to hear when people have followed in, right?
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. It's a lot of happy campers. Some fella donated $25 Australian to the cause. That was very kind of him. I don't know who gets their hands on that, but yeah, all credit to the commentators.
Well, I think that surely that has to go to the talent, shall we say? I can take check, bank transfer, cash is not a problem. So it's all good. Of course, our friends here at SBK, jump onto their website, betsbk.com, to take advantage of a new customer offer they've got there. Open an account, have a £10 wager and get £30 in free bets. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, jump onto the website for all the details there at betsbk.com. Tenner to get £30 in free bets. I like the sound of that. Right, let's look back as ever as we look forward. But before we do, Steve, how are you? Is your pecker up now after we've found a winner?
My pecker's up. Yeah, my pecker's up thanks to Marco Penge. I mean, he's our hero. I mean, he turns 27 in a couple of weeks. Can get himself a really juicy birthday cake now. Yeah, nice healthy check. He's been banking healthy checks lately. Just so pleased for him. We've always had a soft spot for him because he got banned for betting on golf. You know, he's like, it feels like one of us won last week. You know, Marco Penge likes to bet on golf. We like betting on golf. It's our great passion. He's not allowed to bet on golf now, but he doesn't need to bet on golf because he's winning loads of money as a player. And I think he's got a bright future, this lad. I mean, his margins of victory when he won on the Challenge Tour, he won twice on the Challenge Tour, margins of victory of 4 shots and 6 shots. So when he's got his A game, yeah, can be devastating. He won by 3 shots on Sunday for a DP World Tour breakthrough. I love the cut of his jib. You know, it's a real stand and deliver technique, isn't it? I say, isn't it? Because we're moaning about not being able to watch it, but I found some highlights on the internet. I just love his technique. He's so aggressive. He's a big boy, Dave. He's a big, I think he's a Reading lad. I think he hangs around the
Horsham
area.
He's from Horsham.
Yeah, he's born in Horsham. I think his home club is in Reading, I believe. But big boy. Yeah, obviously Italian heritage. His dad's called Angelo. A big swarthy boy. And he hits it an absolute mile. Yeah, you were asking last week, weren't you? Who's the longest hitter on the in the field, and I think we came down on the side of Marco Penge, and absolutely, and I think the future's bright for him. Yeah, but we must moan about the lack of TV coverage, Dave, because I was fuming about it.
Well, it was non-existent.
Following it on the leaderboard is so tricky, isn't it? I mean, on Sunday morning, we had loads of players in contention at the start of the day. Then it all seemed to come down to Marco Penge, and I remember he bogeyed the 11th because it was really tight. We're talking about a 3-shot win, but it was really tight early on. He bogeyed the 11th and to fall 1 shot behind. And I toddled off to the bathroom. I thought I'd process the disappointment with a number two. And and then I hopped in the shower. So he's 1 shot behind at that point. I'll be in the shower. Get out of the shower. I have another check. He's 2 shots ahead. It was a real dramatic turnaround in that small window. Come bouncing out the bathroom. My daughter just couldn't believe the transformation. It was just that daddy really needed that number two. So I was flying when he got 2 shots ahead. Then he went 3 shots ahead. And then you just, but even then, like the 18th is a really tricky hole. I was texting you, wasn't I? Because you were getting carried
away.
It was over.
Well, it was over.
You were getting carried away, but 18 is a really difficult hole. And then, So yeah, he cruised home in the end. But yeah, I think he's got a massive future. And yeah, long live Marco Penge. Stay away from the golf betting. Hopefully his mates had a good bet. His mates are allowed to have a bet. You know, it's so awkward, isn't it? You're not being allowed to have a bet. He wasn't doing anything.
It's a shame. Listen, the rules are rules. But I saw some of the stats and I think he was in front with some of his bets as well. So if it does go yeah. down the Swanee, maybe he could take your job.
Absolutely. We must make it clear he wasn't doing anything unscrupulous.
He wasn't involved
in
those tournaments.
It's very easy, isn't it, for people just to casually hear the story and think, oh, he's a bit dodgy. He wasn't doing anything dodgy. Like, yeah, we talk about this, you know, you're obsessed with snooker and the Chinese fellas getting banned. But, yeah, they were doing things that were dodgy. Our man Marco Penge was not doing anything dodgy. He just, and yeah, I don't know how he even got anyone found out. He's having a few fivers on big golf tournaments. And someone's grassed him up. I think a bookmaker must have grassed him up. I've no idea.
Because he won. Probably because he won.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Yeah. Get him off. So something happened, but he can put it all behind him now. He must realise that, yeah, if I was winning checks like the one he won on Sunday, I wouldn't be betting either. Yeah, I think the future's bright. Loads of power. Young man, you know, 27. And, you know, that first win's always the hardest. So, yeah, I think he's going to go from strength to strength.
You talk about the ebbs and flows. I think we was, what, about 9 holes into the first round and my phone pinged Steve Palmer. We've got this one by the proverbials. He was confident from the start.
It was a bit later than that. I think it was about the halfway stage. But it was just ridiculous. I thought I was going to have the first five. I thought I was going to get first, second, third, fourth and fifth. Like all of our five tips were like bang in it. And as I say, on Sunday morning, I woke up, I thought, blimey. Yeah, we could have the, what would you even call that? It hasn't got a name, is it? We could have the tri-cast, but we could have the first five home. But obviously, golf is golf. You know, golf is golf. And you know, Penge was the only one that seriously contended. I mean, look at the others. Daniel Hillier started the final round in third place, shot 73, finished ninth. Elvis Smiley. You know, hate to get back onto the sadness train, but Elvis Smiley was a big price. He was fourth going into the final round and carded a 74. So, yeah, Sunday morning, thank goodness Penge held himself together because the others, like Brandon Stone and Wenyi Ding, were floating around. Everyone had a chance, but Penge was the man. And, yeah, I think he's got two majors secured now, Dave. Marco Penge is in the USPGA now because there's all sorts of ways of getting in these events now. And the Asian swing standings, yeah, a new thing. The top three from the Asian swing standings get in the USPGA. So he's in the USPGA. He's already in the Open because he finished in the top three of the South African Open the other day. So he's got two majors to look forward to now. And delighted for that. He seems a sound character. All punters are sound.
Yeah, listen, not to bang on about punters, the coverage.
Not sound character.
Not to bang on about the coverage, but it was only because we're in the frame with the bets that I was even remotely interested. Because, I mean, who wants to just watch a screen and watch the scores ticking away?
Yeah. It's not nice. And, you know, I pay a fortune for my Sky Sports subscription. I'm angered that they didn't show that. It's a DP World Tour event. I mean, what's the reason? You know, because it's in China. It's a long way away. They covered the event in China last week. Just get the guys over from there to there. It's not that difficult. In my humble opinion. And then later on in the day, we'll come to the Zurich Classic. You settle down and watch the Zurich Classic, the tournament they are going to show. And there was a power cuts and stuff. And you could hardly get a shot in that in the early stages of the Zurich Classic. So I feel like I deserve a refund from Sky Sports. So if you are watching, who's in charge of it now? Rupert Murdoch still alive?
If he is, I'm not sure it was his call to not show it.
Post me a check, please. Thank you.
Should we move on, Steve? Should we move on?
I think we probably should.
Okay. Yeah. I know you like to go chronological order. So are we going to Mexico City?
Yes. Mexico City finished fractionally before the Zurich Classic. So, yeah, well done, Dave.
Okay, thank you. Right. Now, final round here, it was quite lively, wasn't it? It was Neiman and DeChambeau trading blows. Did you see much of this one?
Well, yeah, I saw a lot of this one. Yeah. It was a fascinating event because, yeah, if you just woke up after the event and you saw that Wackham Neiman's won by 3 shots, you might think it was a pretty boring event, but it wasn't. I mean, Bryson DeChambeau, as you mentioned, you know, had control of this tournament for a long way. Yeah, he was playing so well, swinging with supreme confidence for 48 holes. Bryson DeChambeau is destroying Chapel Tepec. I mean, it's a fiddly course. It's at altitude, it's tree-lined, but DeChambeau, as is his way, the great entertainer, I know you love him, just went for it like Happy Gilmore style, and it was working for 48 holes. He was bullying Chapel Tepec. But then on the 13th hole on Sunday, it just suddenly went wrong for him. Lost his ball off the tee, played his final six holes in 3-over par. So DeChambeau just suddenly went boom, and Wackham Neiman kicked to the line, and that's why you see the big margin of victory there. So Wackham Neiman has now won half of the live events this year, Dave.
Which is mental. Absolutely. You wouldn't mind being a pound behind him, would you?
Well, this is it. I mean, he is making fortunes. So he's won three of the six live events this season, and this one extra special because it secured a U.S. Open exemption. Because one spot is reserved for the leader in the live standings going into the U.S. Open. This is a new creation, so it's sort of like an olive branch thrown by the major. And yeah, it's mathematically impossible for anyone other than Wackham Neiman to get that now. So Wackham Neiman will play in every major this year. It's time for him to contend in one. He's got a miserable majors record, 23 appearances, zero top 15s. He was disappointed in the Masters the other day, wasn't he? 29th in the Masters earlier this month. He was 26 years old, peak of his powers, time to contend for majors. If he goes through the next three majors without getting in the mix, serious questions are going to be asked.
What do you put it down to, Steve? His sort of lack of performance in the majors?
Yeah, I mean, he was very young when he started playing in the majors, but he's missed a lot of cuts. I don't know. I mean, I suppose he is still very young, isn't he? 26 years of age. You know, maybe now's the time. You know, he hasn't got to worry about money anymore, as you pointed out.
Like the big check swagger. He should be strolling in literally, I could buy this place, I own this place, and just go out and play golf.
Yeah. And his all-round game is better than ever. Yeah, I think it will happen, actually. I think it will happen in the next few majors. I think we'll see Wackham Neiman contending. And the fascinating thing for me is that all of his LIV titles have come outside of America. So he's won five LIV titles in total now, and none of them in America. His first one was LIV Mayakoba. So I'm kicking myself a little bit because he's completed the Mexico double last week. The others were Jeddah, Adelaide and Singapore. So he travels well, as we've mentioned before. I just wondered last week whether his confidence would be dented by that Masters, because he was talked up before the Masters and flopped, but shrugged it straight back off. He's a pretty cool customer. I think he's going to contend in a few majors this summer.
And I do love the beefy Bryson, should we say. Just thinking the other day, Steve, can you remember when no one liked him?
Why was that?
I was trying to think. Why did no one like him?
Well, there was an arrogance about him. He made some poor comments about certain things. About Liv and about the people behind Liv, and he just made some sort of awkward comments. And there was an arrogance about him. But he softened when his father died, and he seemed to soften from that point onwards. And he's more of a fan's favourite now, isn't he? So he's matured. He's matured, Dave. We all mature. I remember when I first met you, I didn't like you because I thought you were arrogant. Yeah, very similar thing. Arrogant around the pool.
We're going to have to tell that story again of the Racing Post Sports Desk pool invitational.
Yeah, that's it. No, I know you're really good at Q Sports, and you walked in with the swagger there, and I just thought, blimey, this fella's arrogant. But as I've got to know you, you've matured. And you're a much more well-rounded character now. You just got married. We all improve as years goes by. I feel
like I should be lying down on the sofa. Yeah.
No, you're great now, Dave. Before we move on, I must talk about John Rahm, because I've got a key point to make here, because I know a lot of John Rahm backers last week, win only punters, would have been very angry with what happened. But I think I've been trying to get this point across to punters over the years that an each way better short price on a golfer is to be seriously considered. I think I advised an each way bet on John Rahm last week. You wouldn't have had a moment's worry about losing any money on that bet. You know, he's never for one moment did he look like finishing outside the top five. But there were times in that tournament where you thought he might win. He opened with 64. At that point, I thought he was going to win. He stalled a bit. He got within two shots again on Sunday. I thought he might win. Yeah, but there wasn't a moment in the tournament where I thought he wouldn't finish in the top five. And yeah, if you'd had a win-only bet on Rahm, you've lost last week. If you had an each-way bet at a short price, 6-1 available, you haven't lost. So I know people rear up at me when I tip each way at short price golfers, but long term, I think it's a sensible strategy. I had to get it off my chest.
The each way bet to nothing, I think we call that.
They do say that. He finished alone in fourth place and just didn't hold enough putts to challenge Neiman.
Okay, anything else to add before we move on to Zurich?
No, we've got to get to the Zurich because my word, a lot went on.
We have got, I messaged you, didn't I, that West Ham's Billy Horschel was a non-runner. Yes. Just threw everything out of kilter.
Yeah, it did throw everything out of kilter. It meant that the Hoggard twins became our number one choice. And then, that looked like it was going to work out lovely at many stages on Sunday.
It didn't, though. Novak and Ben Griffin. It was a very up and down, wasn't it? I couldn't, at one point in the final round, I couldn't pick the winner at all.
It was a really entertaining event. I think it's a great event. Ben Griffin, Andrew Novak, around the 20-1 mark. I mean, they were so fortunate. I've got to be careful not to talk through the pocket. Obviously, I had an investment. I don't want my pocket to speak, but they were so lucky on hole 16 and 17. This was late night viewing. I mentioned the tale of two halves on Sunday. Joyous morning, long live Marco Penge. This went into the early hours because there was a weather delay, you see. Sky Sports had this, there was this power cut. It was very thundery. So I think, maybe I shouldn't be too harsh on Sky Sports. Maybe there was nothing they could do about it. But there was power cuts. There was thunder. There was delays. This dragged on into the early hours of Monday morning, which was the last thing I needed. But it nearly had a happy ending. But hole 16 and 17, Griffin and Novak. Novak's blown a lot of chances lately, hasn't he? I mean, obviously, Justin Thomas pipped him in the Heritage. Novak's been trying to get this first win. He was edgy as anything down the stretch. He pulled both of his approaches. He was the one, it was alternate shot, of course. He was the one who had the approaches at 16 and 17. Both ugly pulls, narrowly avoided the water hazard at 16.
Very lucky. Very lucky.
You were watching, Dave. That was so lucky. And then they get up and down for par there. And then at the 17th, there's another pull. It's a little bit further away from the water hazard, but another bounce and it's in. So I'm like, I can't believe he's got away with both them. But then,
Steve, as well. It must have been a sore one. You definitely nearly saw
then. Well, then when Griffin holds the putt from the fringe, like really difficult putt. That was the moment that, that was the moment. It's classic. It's just classic. Classic character.
Do you know what? As I was watching it, I wondered whether being partnered up with someone made it even worse for Novak. Because I thought, he already probably feels a bit shaky and a bit flaky. And he's now not only trying to win it for himself, but he's trying to win it for someone. And I just thought it would have amplified it and made him feel even worse.
Yeah, well, he was lucky that his partner was holding it together. Griffin was impressive because Griffin in the past has been terribly in contention as well. So you had two players who were notorious for letting chances slip, two PGA Tour maidens. And that putt changed everything because then they could just coast up 18. But the Hoggard twins played so well, Dave. I was following all week. I was quietly confident all week because they were hitting the ball so well. Just had a couple of missed tiddlers here and there, which is par of the course with the Hoggards. They do occasionally miss tiddlers. We had a little bit of luck on 18. As I say, I don't want to talk through too much through the pocket. Got line of sight relief. Rasmus pulled his drive and they got line of sight relief, but they must have listened to the roars from 17. The Hoggards played beautifully. Yeah, the 15, 16 and 17, Dave. They played 15, 16 and 17 so well and they didn't pick up any shots. And you compare how they played those three holes to how Novak and Griffin played them. Yeah, they were one under par for 16 and 17 when they didn't deserve to be. But we move on. We can't have
any. Final point on that then.
Back to all about Marco Penge.
I mean, Ryder Cup going forward, is that a pairing that we're going to see?
Oh, blimey. Yeah, abso-blimmin-lutely. Abso-blimmin-lutely. No, I think Luke Donald would have been very, very encouraged by that. I mean, these guys, obviously, the natural harmony, they work really well together. They spur each other on. It's a natural partnership, for sure. I'd like to see that.
Should we move forward, Steve? Do you want to start previewing?
Well, sorry, we have three tournaments. It drags on a bit, doesn't it? But we just got to quickly mention two other pairs. Because, you know, Michael Thorbjornsson and Carl Willips, you know, we tipped them as well. They had a great chance to win into the 71st hole. Willips tugged his approach at the 71st hole, the one that Novak did. So Novak's that far away from going in the water, and Willips is that far away from in the water. So they made a double bogey at the 71st hole. They had a winning chance and finished tied fourth. But place money from the old guys, place money from the Willips Thorbjornsson at a nice price. And then obviously the favourites. We can't move on without talking about the favourites. Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry ran out of puff. Did you notice that Rory McIlroy was ill at the start of that tournament? Okay, yeah.
I didn't see that, actually.
We went back to Northern Ireland, went back to Belfast. Obviously, a lot colder in Belfast than what he's used to. If you're living in Florida
I'm
and
not,
you go back...
This is self-induced illness. I'm not having that. He's been on the owl.
Well, yeah, I would imagine he's had a few tinctures as well, yeah. And so he should. But yeah, he's gone back to Belfast. He's come back to Florida ill. And yeah, he was ropey in the pre-tournament media conferences. So yeah, they did well to hang in there, I think. But they were obviously a very short price. It was a week where, it's one of those weeks where you'd like to be.
It wasn't life or death for them, though, was it? They were chuckling away.
A bit of chuckling going on. But yeah, they shot 72 on Sunday and were tailed off in, they finished 12th place. But yeah. So we won't see Rory again until next week. There's a signature event next week. So he needs to rest up. It's very nice of him to play that event with Big Shano there. But I just hope it hasn't taken too much out of him because he's got a busy spell coming up, and it's interesting. Yeah, it was very commendable, but perhaps he should have been a bit more selfish and not played it. But we shall see.
Just worry about those majors, my man. That's all you need to do. Right, let's move on then. Let's look forward. Two tournaments this week, Steve. We have got the Byron Nelson, formerly known as the Dallas Open, and the return of the Chef. Right, where are we playing this week?
TPC Craig Ranch, McKinney, Texas, 7,569 yards now. They've lengthened it since last year. Par 71, 3 par 5s, 11 par 4s, 4 par 3s. It's hosted the Byron Nelson since 2021. Got Zoysia grass fairways, slow bent grass greens. Pretty easy for tour professionals, let's be honest. The 14th hole, a drivable par 4. And we've got significant pre-tournament thunderstorms forecast, Dave. So this long course is going to get really soft, relatively calm conditions on Thursday and Friday. Bit of thunder at the weekend, some moderate breezes, a field of 156 going to post.
I'm glad you said easy, or used the word easy. In my very limited research, I've come across minimal rough and generous fairways. Someone's going to shoot the lights out here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think so, around 20 under par a win. They've lengthened the holes. It never seems to stop these guys, does it? Lengthening golf courses isn't the answer to making them more difficult. I think this will be a birdie fest, yeah.
Okay, right. Market leaders then. The Chef is not even 3-1. He's a short price here. We've got Jordan Spieth, Sungjae Im, Byung-Hyun An as well. How many selections for the Byron Nelson, Steve?
4-8.
Oh, okay. And the main selection is?
Sam Burns, who has come back to life at the perfect time. Form is temporary, class is permanent, and that is good news for Sam Burns. He's been in ropey form this year. He is driving well again now, though, driving really well again. His iron play appears to be on the up. Can always be relied upon to hold a putt. He's always been a great putter. He looks primed for a huge performance in the Byron Nelson for me. He finished 46th in the Masters earlier this month. Not a bad effort given the form he'd arrived in and the form he's previously shown at Augusta. But it's the follow-up performance which is most eye-catching. 13th in the Heritage, closed with a 67. Have we got the Burns back, which ended 2024? Because he ended 2024 in really impressive fashion, you might remember. Basically, from June onwards last year, he was right at the top of his game. He posted 8 top 20s. He was 9th in the US Open, 5th in the FedEx St. Jude Championship, 2nd in the BMW Championship. So he went missing for a couple of months this year. February and March were a write-off. Looks to be getting back in business now. He's already won 2 PGA Tour titles in Texas, the 2022 Colonial, the 2023 WGC Match Play. I think he'll complete the hat-trick on Sunday. He was runner-up on his Craig Ranch debut in 2021. All about the Burns.
All about the Burns. And he's a headlight writer's dream as well with a surname like that. And he's one of your faves, right? You've got a lot of time for Sam Burns, aren't you, Steve?
Yeah, yeah. I rate him very highly. Yeah, yeah. He's been out of the winner's enclosure for way too long. And yeah, this is there's not much world-class talent in attendance this week. You know, you've got the Chef, and then you're questioning who is the second best player in attendance. Jordan Spieth will have his fans, he always does. But Sam Burns is a big fish in a small pond this week. And he's probably the fish that's least scared of Scotty Scheffler. You know, they're great friends. He's performed well against Scotty Scheffler in tight tussles. So, you know, if Scheffler, you know, the market is suggesting Scheffler is the man to beat, and the market is suggesting Scheffler is going to be in contention, that's fine for Sam Burns. He actually enhances his performance when he's mixing it with Scotty.
Right, he's the main selection then. Who's the next best?
Taylor Pendrith, the defending champion.
We saw
KH Lee. You probably remember, you saw KH Lee successfully defend at Craig Ranch in 2022. I can see Pendrith doing likewise. This call sets up beautifully for him. They've even lengthened it since last year, making it even more of a paradise for Pendrith. The pre-tournament rain will help him as well. And I would advise punters who are looking at his form to concentrate on the form he showed when he was last in Texas. The Houston Open was a month ago. He finished fifth in that on a suitable course. Then he missed the cut in the Masters on his debut. Very easy to forgive that. Then he finished 42nd of 72 in a high-class signature event heritage on a course which doesn't suit. He actually carded rounds of 67 and 68 at the weekend at Harbour Town. Yeah, that's really encouraging form for me. Yeah, that's the first time he's played the weekend at the Heritage. I take positives from that. I think he can retain this title. He's got a 100% record at Craig Ranch, but for Pete's sake, you know, he's played once. He's won once. We'll see what happens from here.
Paradise for Pendrith, one from one. It was remiss of me to mention, I went back and looked through some of the results of this tournament. This is not a tournament to get stuck into the favourite. Far from it. It's been some massive price winners.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll come to the favourite in this. And yeah, I had no interest. Yeah, we'll save that for after the tips. But yeah, I won't be going near Scotty Scheffler.
Okay, two down, two to go. Who else we got on the team?
Byung Hun Ahn. Has the time come for Byung Hun Ahn? Nothing short of scandalous that he hasn't won on the PGA Tour. Yeah, I mean, you probably remember the 2009 US Amateur, Dave. Were you born in the 2009?
Yeah, I remember it fondly.
Well, Byung Hun Ahn was 17 years of age when he was winning that, at the world at his feet. Then he won on the Challenge Tour in 2014. He won on the DP World Tour in 2015. I guarantee you'll remember that one because he sprinted away from the field at Wentworth in the BMW. Yeah, that was a hugely impressive victory at Wentworth. Then he won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2022. PGA Tour glory has been elusive. I think maybe at the age of 33, it's coming. Such a well-rounded player now. He was slow out the starting gates this year, a bit like Sam Burns. But from the Arnold Palmer Invitational onwards, Byung Hun Ahn has been really impressive. He was 8th at Bay Hill, 16th in the Valspar, 21st in the Masters, mid-division in the Heritage. He won the Genesis Championship last year, you might remember, on the DP World Tour. Byron Nelson looks an ideal venue for his PGA Tour breakthrough. He's played at Craig Ranch twice before, 14th on debut, 4th last year after closing with a 65. He's a very attacking player, is Byung Hun Ahn. This course sets up well for attacking players like him. He was also 5th in the 2017 Byron Nelson at a different track. Likes playing in Texas. It could be a heartwarming tale. He's one of the nicest fellows on the circuit, Byung Hun Ahn. Even if I was a neutral, I'd probably want him to win this. I'm hoping we'll have a big smile from Byung Hun Ahn on Sunday night.
Could be a first success for him. One more then, Steve. Who else is on the team?
Davis Riley. I made all sorts of strange noises, Dave, when I looked at the betting and saw how deep he was in the betting. I just could not believe it.
Can you just replicate them for us?
I was looking for him. I just thought there must be some error on the list here. They have not included him. Then I just can't. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a bit like that. It's a bit like that. Make of that what you will. But
I'm really glad I asked now, yeah.
It was so far down the bed. It just doesn't make sense. You know, plenty of early birds have been taking a nibble, Dave. You know, to their credit, the early birds are nibbling away there. But I think even the late birds have got a value price. This is a huge run. This is a class act looking for a second PGA Tour title in Texas. Yeah, he won the Colonial. You must remember the Colonial last year. A five-shot romp from Davis Riley. He loves the Lone Star State. One of his two Korn Ferry Tour victories came in Texas in 2020. He finished ninth on his Craig Ranch debut in the 2022 Byron Nelson. He finished fourth at Colonial later that year to bolster that record in Texas. The 2023 Byron Nelson, don't worry about that, missed the cut, but he was missing every cut at that time. His game was in disarray. Finished 30th in last year's Byron Nelson. This time, surely going to be in the thick of things. His iron play is so much better coming into this edition than previous trips to the Byron Nelson. He was 6th in the Puerto Rico Open at the start of last month, 38th at Sawgrass, 7th in the Valspar, 52nd in Houston, 21st on his Masters debut. Incredible effort. Closed with a 69 at Augusta. I mean, that must be such a booster to confidence. I can see Davis Riley winning a green jacket one day. He's that good. This is a 28-year-old. You know, his confidence is rising. He played all right last week. He had a badly out-of-form partner in Nick Cardy in the Zurich. They made the cut. So, yeah, Riley, the most exciting golf bet of the week. You know, the early prices were absolutely staggering, and the ones that are remaining are still good value.
Must be a good bet, Steve, if the late birds are still getting a bit of value. The early birds always get the value, but if the late birds are still value, what were the prices that you saw first thing?
Still some worms out there. Still some worms. We're three-figure prices out there, and I just think he's a really, really lively candidate. I would have had him much closer to the head of the bet.
Okay, well, they are Steve's four picks, and our friends at BetSBK. Remember to jump on the website, betsbk.com, are offering a 25% boost to winnings if you do manage to find the winner of this tournament. So they are Steve's four picks. And if you can find the winner of the Byron Nelson, whether you're following Steve or taking your own view, with SBK, you'll get a 25% boost. Terms and conditions are on the website, but there you go. Get stuck in and take advantage of that boost. They may well be boosting the jolly here. Scottie Scheffler, I mentioned, he's Shortland 3-1. Steve with a little bit of 25% on top. Of course, that's a little bit bigger. You're not with him. Why?
Yeah, I've got no urge to play at those odds. Yeah, this is an easy course, Dave. It's difficult for the best players to assert themselves on easy courses for obvious reasons. You know, there's the tough courses that separate the men from the boys. You've probably got to putt well to win this. You look at the stats of the winners at Craig Ranch. They've all putted really well. You know, obviously Scheffler comes with no guarantee of putting well. He's on this winless streak. I think only his biggest fans would be getting involved this week at such short prices. I much prefer my four at healthy prices.
And the only one I'll ask you about is Jordan Spieth. You mentioned him. He's the clear second favourite.
Yeah, he has been popular in the market. Obviously, he's highly motivated. Another one who loves playing in Texas. You know, all the fans will be pulling for him, but I'm not quite convinced yet. I can't pull the trigger. I'm sorry. I know you'd love me to pull the trigger on Jordan Spieth, and we could ride that roller coaster together. But he's not for me.
He's a funny player. I just can't. If you try and rate the players, which, you know, people will build models, and you might try and rate the players yourself. I mean, where do you put Jordan Spieth at the moment?
Well, I'll ask you this, Dave. Who's going to win more PGA Tour titles over the next 5 years, Sam Burns or Jordan Spieth? I mean, it's just emphatically Sam Burns for me. Jordan Spieth's best days are probably behind him. Spieth's a shorter price than Sam Burns. No, it's an easy decision for me. We all love Jordan Spieth, another one of these great entertainers. Maybe he'd be inspired by Justin Thomas ending his winless streak the other day. They're very close, aren't they? I'm not ruling out a Jordan Spieth victory by any stretch, but I don't think there's much in the price.
I just think he's just a really difficult player to place and rate at the moment. I mean, he's clear second favourite. And, you know, if he's up there, you wouldn't be surprised. But if he was tailed off, I don't think you'd be surprised either.
Oh, mate, you're absolutely right, Dave. Mate, you're absolutely right. No, I got no interest in the top two. And they were easy to pass over. And then from there, it got much more interesting.
Okay, right. Should we move on then to the livers?
Yes, sir.
Before we do, I just want to give a little a nod to former host of the Sweet Spot, Bruce Menninton. Have you spoke to Bruce? I bet he's feeling glad all over at the moment.
Oh, the FA Cups, yes, yeah. I mean, the Palace were very impressive, weren't they? That Eze goal would have perked him up. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, he'll have a day out at Wembley.
I don't know many Palace fans, but Bruce is one of them. I bumped into him randomly outside Selhurst Park one season. It was a couple of years ago. Do you still keep in touch with him? Is he Copperhood? Yes, he must be.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I know lots of Palace fans, but Bruce is, an absolute Palace diehard, isn't he? And the Palace fans are a good bunch, and I think they'll have a great day out. Obviously, it's unfortunate they got the Citizens in the final, isn't it? So that's not going to be straightforward, is it? But I'll be rooting for Palace because as I say, I know lots of Palace fans, and Bruce is having a good retirement and just Palace obsessed and we wish him well on his trip to the Twin Towers, not the Twin Towers.
Steady on, yeah.
No, you don't want to be going over there. No.
The Wembley Arch.
The Wembley Arch. Go. I'm living in the past here, not even the towers. Good luck, Bruce. Good luck.
Right, let's head over to Korea then, shall we? For the livers. We are at the Jack Nicklaus Golf Club, which has been labelled as, I read, Steve, a thinking player's course. Would you agree with that?
Who's labelled it that?
I think I might have read it on Golf Monthly, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of water hazards, I suppose. So, I'm not sure about that. I mean, did Jack Nicklaus write that? Jack Nicklaus might have written that about his own course.
I'm not sure about that.
They always
basically what I'm trying to get at is this is not a course that's just going to be bombs away and blow it away.
There's a bit of strategy involved, but I think they're hyping it up a little bit there. I mean, Jack Nicklaus's course is traditionally very generous fairways, and this has got very generous fairways, and the approaches are tougher. You know, Nicklaus sets courses up in the style that that he would have done well on because he's very, very good on approach. This course is named after him, Jack Nicklaus Golf Club, Incheon, South Korea, 7,354 yards, par 72, four par fives, opened in 2010, hosted the 2015 President's Cup. I mean, you might remember that one, Dave. The 2015 President's Cup was here, and then it became the Genesis Championship venue from 2017. That was a Korean Tour event until 2022. Then it was co-sanctioned by the DP World Tour in 2023 and 2024. So, the livers have stolen a DP World Tour venue here. They love going around signing courses that are used on the main circuits, don't they? It's they did that. They've done that to the Maya Cobra event on the PGA Tour. Valderrama. They took Valderrama. Yeah, nothing turns these guys on more than writing a check which secures a golf course that used to be used on one of the rival tours. But let's not get bogged down in politics, Dave. Too much politics in this world.
What I will say, though, is there's a fair bit of course form on show, is there?
From that Genesis Championship, not many players would have played in that. I mean, the President's Cup's probably a better guide for you in terms of this field. We've got some storms, a bit similar to the previous event we previewed. Storms coming on Thursday. So storms coming a day before the event. So we're going to get another really soft track, which will make it easier. I don't think they'll have a lot of thinking to do because it's going to be a soft track with generous fairways, light to moderate breezes, temperatures peaking at 18°C, 54 players going to post, no cut, 54 holes, starts at 3:05 a.m. UK time on Friday morning. So Thursday night, Friday morning. That's well past your bedtime, Dave.
Yeah, that's an awkward time to try and follow. Are you going to try and follow all the action, Steve, again?
Yeah, I will. I will, actually, yeah. Yeah, because I'm going to be home alone this weekend because the family are going to Brighton for... Because it's a bank holiday weekend, isn't it, Dave? And Muggins here doesn't get bank holidays off. So they're going to be staying out there on the Monday, which means I can't go. So, I'll be working on Monday. So, I will be home alone, giving me options. You know, I probably will, be live career all night and then a bit of rest and then Byron Nelson all day. Yeah, living the dream, living the dream.
Living the dream, literally living the dream. Right, I asked you about the track because our old mate Beefy Bryson is the market leader. Neiman's up there, John Rahm, Tyrrell Hatton. But you're telling me this is not a track that Bryson could just blow away?
He could do. He's not for me. I mean, I'm not tipping any of the market principles. I've got three healthier prices. And then I can tell you my pick of the market principles will be at the end. There is one player I was very close to pulling the trigger on who is a market principle. But for me, there's some value deeper in the betting in this one. So we've got three selections, though.
Right, we'll come to that. I'm pretty confident that's Tyrrell Hatton, but we will come to that. Right, how many in the team?
Three.
Just the three. And the main selection is...
Dustin Johnson. Plenty of life in the old dog yet, as they say. I know I've been banging this drum for a little while now. He's not even an old dog, Dave. I know you're obsessed with dogs. This is not an old dog. He's only... Well, it would be an old dog if he was a dog. He's 40 years of age. So I got myself in a muddle here. How long do dogs live? What's the oldest dog you've ever seen live?
Oh, I don't know. Beyond 40.
I've never seen an actual real dog. But the point is, let's focus. He's a human. He's a human. Come on, focus. It's all those late nights watching the Blimmin' Zurich Classic. He's 40 years of age, got plenty left in the tank. You know, I'm 47 in June, Dave. 47 in June. I'd love to be 40. I'd love to start again and not make all the mistakes I've made since. You know, DJ is not an old man. I don't like listening to people who think DJ is an old man. Yeah, I think he's going to win a fourth LIV title this week. He's won a LIV title in every season, Dave. I think this is a streak that he'll be aware of and he'll be keen to continue. It was a bit like this on the PGA Tour. He used to win a tournament on the PGA Tour every year. I think if he goes for a year without winning anything, he's cheesed off. And as I say, he was there from the start on LIV. He's won a title in each season. And I think this is the week where he keeps that streak going. You know, a lot of players in this field, as we discussed, are seeing the course for the first time. Johnson starred here in the 2015 President's Cup we mentioned. He won 3 points from four matches. He's won three times in Asia on the DP World Tour. You might remember when he won the WGC in China. He likes his trips to Asia. If you go back to 2011, he teed up in Incheon. In the Ballantines Championship, which was a DP World Tour event in Incheon. You remember the Ballantines Championship? So he loves these trips to Korea. He finished fourth in that. Finished fourth in that day. Don't you smoke at me. Finished fourth in that.
I don't remember yesterday, Steve.
He finished fourth in that Ballantines. He's going back to Incheon. Incheon's a city in South Korea. And this time, he's arriving in good nick. You know, he's been testing equipment, you see. That's why people are running out of patience with Johnson. Because he was contracted for TaylorMade and he had to use TaylorMade stuff. A couple of months ago, that contract ends with TaylorMade. So he's a free agent. And what are you going to test all this new equipment? So he's been testing all this new equipment. I think the bag is sorted now. On the evidence of last week, the bag is sorted. He's got the tools he wants to trade with. His weekend performance in LIV Mexico, 9 under par for the weekend on a tricky, fiddly track at altitude. 9 under par at LIV Mexico City for the weekend. Finished 7th in the tournament. His last trip to Asia was LIV Singapore. Finished 5th in LIV Singapore. I think he's well capable of getting in the mix here. You know, he's, I don't need to remind you because I've been going on about it for ages, but you know, former world number one, two-time major champion. Yeah, we're going to Oakmont for the US Open in June, Dave. Yeah, I turned 47 in June. We're going to Oakmont for the US Open. Who won the US Open last time we were at Oakmont? Dustin Johnson in 2016. I think, and these little things are motivating for him. You know, he would have noticed that we're off to this, you know, scene of my greatest triumph in a couple of months. I think he's, you know, I've been told he's practicing really hard. I think he lays down a marker for Oakmont. You know, if he wins this week, suddenly everyone's talking about Dustin Johnson for Oakmont. Yeah. I think he's the value choice for LIV career.
And it feels like you're emotionally invested in this DJ revival as well now, Steve.
I've always been a DJ fan. I mean, he's won me a
Christmas. But people have been writing him off, and you know, some of his results would kind of warrant question marks over him. Yeah. But there's also still been those flashes of brilliance.
Absolutely. And remember, he was carrying an injury that, yeah, the moment when he finished last in LIV Gong Hong Kong, when the vultures were circling, remember he slept funny. I think you smirked at me that time as well, but he slept funny. So he's carrying an injury for the first two rounds and then he played amazing in the last round. So yeah, I can forgive that performance as well. So I think Dustin Johnson's worth taking a chance on this week. Because obviously, as you talk about this live market, every week you get all the short prices about the market principles. It's the same this week. You have to go a long way to get to Dustin Johnson. There are a few people that have been nibbling him already this week, and I commend those people. I'm a DJ fan this week.
Okay, sounds like we've got all bases covered, other than what sort of mattress is he going for? You know, we don't want him sleeping funny again. We're going to get him a Simba. I've seen them advertised on the TV. Should we chip in and get him one to make sure he's all right?
Well, he's got enough money to take his own gear over, isn't he? I mean, he'd be jetting over there on his private jet. Yeah, hopefully he's got all sorts of bed tools with him.
Okay. Okay. Right, let's move on from DJ and his bed tools. Right, who is the... I've lost train of thought now. How many selections do we give us?
We've got three. We've got three. We've done one.
We've only done one so far. Okay, so two more to come. Who else?
Louis Oosthuizen. Not tipped him for a while.
No.
Such a fantastic name. My son came in my office yesterday just as I was mulling over whether to tip Louis Oosthuizen. And I had his name up on the screen. I said, "How'd you say that then, son?" Because obviously he's still learning the life's basics. So it's a real test for him. And he goes, Louis Oosthuizen. So it's a good F, I thought. I call him Louis Oosthuizen. I call him Louis. He'd be relishing this trip to the scene of the 2015 President's Cup. I've obviously mentioned that a lot already. But Oosthuizen in that event was unbeaten. Unbeaten against the mighty America. He scored 4.5 points from his 5 matches. Him and Brandon Grace were beating anyone who came in front of him. So Oosthuizen, very fond memories of this track. He finished 5th in his only Ballantyne's Championship appearance in Incheon in 2013. He won the Malaysian Open on the DP World Tour prior to that. So a proven Asian performer, experienced campaigner. I think he's arriving this year with a bit more motivation than normal. You know, motivation can be an issue for Oosthuizen. I think the fact he was watching the Masters the other day at home would have stung a little bit, because he played 15 Masters in a row,
yeah,
and then missed last year and missed this year. He must be wondering if he's ever going to get back to Augusta. The only way to do it is to play well. And you know, he won a couple of DP World Tour events at the end of 2023 to boost the world ranking. It's all about the world ranking for these guys. Last year, he played well every time he teed up on the Asian Tour. He made a few Asian Tour appearances. He was 2nd in Oman, 3rd in Qatar, getting those world ranking points. His best performance this year came in Asia, LIV Singapore. He finished 5th, tied 5th with Dustin Johnson. So similar assignment this week to that LIV Singapore one. Again, talk about Dustin Johnson's former glories. Louis Oosthuizen, former world number 4. Very easy to forget. You know, a major champion. I just sense that he might be a bit more up for it this week than he normally is. And yeah, you're getting enormous prices. It's well worth taking a chance.
Okay, he is the 2nd member of the team. And the 3rd?
The finale is Peter Uhlein, who has also been loving his trips to Asia lately. He won twice on the Asian Tour last year. He won by 5 shots in Qatar in December. He was also 2nd in an Asian Tour event in Thailand. So another one who loves these trips to Asia and focuses and banks healthy checks. This year, he finished 6th in LIV Hong Kong, 10th in the Macau Open. So I think we could get a maiden win for him. Like, he's never won a LIV event, but yeah, he's a massive price because of that. The closest he's come to winning a LIV title was in Asia. LIV Jeddah 2022, lost a playoff to Brooks Koepka. He was 5th in the WGC HSBC in China. So, I can't get away from Peter. A really lively outsider. Former world number 1 amateur, we must mention, Dave. Yes, Brendan Duke can send him a hoodie just in time for his tee off on Friday. So, we're taking a chance on 3 players here at prices. Which I think
he was going to be a better player than what he turned out. I went for a period of backing him constantly on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's absolutely class act, you know. Yeah, a bit like Maverick McNealy in the sense that he had a really rich dad. Yeah, his dad owned like Titleist.
I was going to say, didn't he, one of his family, he was involved in like the ownership of Titleist, the actual company.
His dad owned Titleist, and obviously it gives good start in life. So he's the old Maverick McNealy, but Yeah, he's got a classic swing. Yeah, I've always been a Peter Uihlein fan. I thought he would have should have won more, but yeah, if you look for his CV, he has won plenty of professional tournaments now. Whether he's going to win a major, I don't know. But Peter Uihlein is a juicy price for this one, and I think that's the best tactic. Go for those three at prices rather than pick one of these market leaders. But if you put a gun to my head, I know which market leader I'd be picking.
Go on.
Get your gun out. Get your gun out, Dave. I would be picking Wackham Neiman. Wackham Neiman. Obviously, if he wins this, that means he would have won four of seven. But it's just that live record outside of America is just incredible, isn't it? And, you know, he'll be aware now that this is going to be a career best season. You know, there's loads of extra money at the end of the season forever tops the rankings, you know. Like he's going to make so much money this year if he stays atop the rankings. So he does have that motivation to continue this. I think he's the pick of the market principles. But
now I assumed it was going to be Hatton that you liked. Why not Hatton?
I think this is a long, soft course. I want people with plenty of length here. Hatton's been a bit grumpy. Even more so than
for
normal.
A change, yeah.
Yeah, even more so than normal. And, he hasn't been in possession of his A game, and he made a great start at Augusta and was, you know, really meekly fell away. You remember that really short missed putt on 17. I don't think Hatton's in the right headspace at the moment. Whereas Wackham Neiman is sort of gliding along with a carrot. Motivation very important on the live circuit. You know, you get fortune to finish in last. You want players that have got a carrot, and I think Neiman's got the ultimate carrot of that number one in the live standings. I think he'd be the one that's most motivated out of those market principles.
Marvellous. Okay, but that's Steve's three for the livers in Korea, South Korea. A reminder as well, of course, our sponsors, SBK, opening a new account with them. Bet £10 and you get £30 in free bets as well. So make sure you jump onto betsbk.com. Right, we'll have a round up then, Steve. I saw there was someone in the comments that they were absolutely livid that I've made you name.
I saw that, yeah.
I'm
glad he's getting a reaction. He's getting a reaction
I'm not here to upset people. We're here to... enjoy ourselves, find a few winners and punt away on the golf. So the Byron Nelson, who are you putting up this week, Steve?
Thank you, Dave. Sam Burns, Taylor Pendrith, Byung Nan, and Davis Riley.
Okay, and in the Korean individual for the livers?
Dustin Johnson, Lewis Harden, Peter Uihlein.
Lovely stuff. Just give us a reminder, Steve, when to bet by.
Yeah, I mean the middle of the night on Friday morning. So Thursday night, Friday morning for the liver. That's the one that always catches people out. 3:05 a.m. Friday morning UK time, and the Byron Nelson will tee off about 1 p.m. I think maybe on 1 p.m. ish on Thursday.
So if you're playing the doubles, early doors on the Thursday, then before 1 p.m. It's been a pleasure. As ever, mate, what we got coming up this week? Anything exciting? You're free reign, are you? We got anything planned?
Well, I don't know about free reign, but I'm going to try and play golf this week.
Saturday.
You're playing on Lovely. Saturday. Yeah. This can be my first round of the year at Wentworth on Wednesday. Tomorrow.
Lovely.
Tomorrow.
You've lost the glove, so you're in good nick, right?
Well, yeah, I've been using sprays today rather than glove. I got my spray there, so hopefully I can be fit for that. And then it's going to just be home alone watching sports.
Love it. sounds like heaven, that does. So enjoy yourself. Thanks for watching out there as well. Make sure you enjoy the golf. Gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next week.